Abernathy and all of the distinguished leaders of this nation and all of you wonderful freedom fighters, my brothers and sisters and my children, because I have been called the mother of this. You see before you now a victim of all that has been perpetrated against one to make us less than human.
Rosa Parks was in her early 40s. She's really young. She is not a grandma. She's not even a mother. She's not an old woman with tired feet. She said as much in a radio interview at that time. She said, the only tired I was tired of giving in. And she says it very quietly, but very matter-of-factly. Right? She is clear. And, you know, what's so interesting about her not speaking that night at the Holt Street Baptist Church, you know, the first big mass meeting after she's arrested, is that, you know, the NAACP will use her to give speeches throughout the 1950s all around the country. And she raises a ton of money for the NAACP that way. And yet we never, you know, we don't talk about her as a speech maker, as an orator, as, you know, someone who's out there fighting for the movement. We don't remember her that way. We only remember her frozen in time on that bus. That's, I think, one of the biggest things we need to fight against, because, you know, Jean Theo Harris says this really clearly, but she argues that it takes all the radicalism out of the movement and it takes all the politics out of the movement so that people don't know how to fight structural changes anymore, because we've been sold the story that if you make a great speech or your feet are too tired, the good people on the other side are going to say, oh, shucks, we're sorry. We'll just change the whole power system because your feet hurt or because you're just a great speech maker. I mean, it's just not how power works. And so teaching people about the bus boycott, I think, is really crucial to just having a really decent sense of how democracy can work and how citizenship can function when a lot of the rights and responsibilities of citizenship are denied to you.
It wasn't until college that I learned Rosa Parks' life was way more than school teaches us.
That is the current exhibitions intern at the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University, Amber Delgado. As a classically trained art historian, she's headed back to grad school to tackle the task of decolonizing art institutions and making them both accessible and more equitable for people of color like herself. As a millennial, learning about both the civil rights movement and the women in it was a different experience.
So that was really disappointing. Of just like, man, you know, even in our celebration, the narrative still controlled and for a reason, to learn how much of her narrative is hidden. And this one moment defines her life and her legacy. While it's an important moment, it still shows to me what I thought of as how not neutral history is. There's an intentionality behind what's being taught and how far that goes.
I'm continually surprised by how resistant the narrative is to change, and how resistant people are to changing the narrative, right? You know, the Rosa Parks is forever like an old lady on the bus with tired feet, even though, you know, for decades we've known a different story about her. And historians keep telling different stories about her. There's something about that, like, simplistic, apolitical, emotion-based narrative that Americans keep, you know, gobbling up and spitting out without really thinking about how politics works and how networks are mobilized. And what makes somebody, what shifts them from an ordinary, everyday person to a lifelong activist?
Thomas Jefferson, when the founders of these United States...
That's Director Reed Eaton again.
...were talking about the institution of slavery, he's quoted as having said something like, well, we can never free the enslaved because it's like we're holding a wolf by the ears. And white people knew what they were doing. They knew that it was not okay to enslave people. They knew that it was wrong. And they believed that we would rise up and kill them all. And in fact, there were many more slave insurrections. There were many more Nat Turners than we have ever learned about. So Chinua Achebe, his quote about, "Until the lions have their own historians, tales of the hunt will always glorify the hunter." The victor gets to shape the history. The dominant power gets to shape the history. So there's so much that's erased so that our ensuing generations can't know about it and be pissed off and get retribution. That's why there are certain things that we don't learn, and that's why we're not allowed to see people in their fullness, because their fullness would be similar to our fullness, and then we would feel empowered. But if we think that somebody is, you know, the second coming of Jesus, or Mary, as I like to think, you know, if we think someone is divinely inspired or called to this very solitary and special work to be the special moonbeam that will lead us to blah, 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 then we don't do stuff because we think we don't have that capacity.
So when we talk about Black feminist movements in a more like contemporary sense, I came to that in college. So there's a lot of relearning that has to happen. I read my first book by Audre Lorde this year, 2018. I am 23 years old. And I think to myself, if I had the exposure to Black feminist scholarship while I was in high school, the impact that that would have had on me, as opposed to playing this game of catch up, that's what has to happen with us. It's not quote-unquote mainstream. It's deemed too radical, so therefore we don't get it in a public education setting. And as a result of which, if you're lucky, you come across these histories that were kept from you. And then you have to reframe your life based on this relearning of a history that is meant for you.
With the continual effort to keep the truth away from Black people of the United States via blatant or systemic racism, the only real way to bring the spirit of the civil rights movement forward and ensure stories of people like Rosa Parks actually embolden people is...
set up systems of learning where people feel comfortable and adequate to discuss, to have questions, to not understand. And I don't think our education system in this country is set up for that. You get it or you don't. And that's my issue with art institutions as well. Only those who have the leisure to be trained in art can understand art. So as a result of which, if you're in an art museum as a person of color, if you don't get it, then you shouldn't be here. The problem is again, like institutional structures. I believe that this type of information, especially coming from my own perspective of expanding the knowledge of histories, because there is not one history that we have been taught that there is. There is multiple histories. I believe that expanding that knowledge and disseminating that information is vitally important, especially to young African American women. But I think that there's a necessity of finding ways to educate people that give them space to truly explore what they understand and what they don't understand.
How will we know we've arrived? When will we know we don't have to resist any longer?
When Black women get free, and now I would go further and I would say when Black trans women get free, we will all be free. So we have to work in solidarity. And we have to agitate. And speak up.
The strength of the civil rights movement was to protect Black women's bodies. And now through the same royalty, we are seeing a reconstruction of archives, a protest and declaration of Black Lives Mattering, and a revitalized, organized, well-read, and inspirationally motivated movement taking hold of the United States. Let's ensure in this historical retelling, all the people involved get the credit this time. Then, we can start writing songs about the women involved, and not just songs named for them. I've got to realize the power. This story is brought to you by Michael Abett II for John Bewin's class at the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University. Production and engineering by Music Juice Studios. Music by Micaiah Beats, Bernice King, and Ninth Wonder. Special thanks to Dr. Daniel McGuire, Director Courtney Reed Eaton, and Amber Delgado for such brilliant interviews. To my friends, Cassie Klaus, Aaron Edmonston, and Zaire McPherson, thank you so much for your guidance. Copyright 2018 by Michael Abett II. Enough for me to see, because at the time I knew my name, but didn't know myself, and so I dealt with shit the same. As a fugitive, but running from the truth and shit, I shoot the shit with niggas, but they never knew the shit that's hidden deep within the crevices, like ever since I was a child. See my mama with the pistol pointed at a dome in hell. And the fuck do you expect for me to ever be the best little me that I can be when time is deep inside of me, like IV fluid pumping through the blood of wifey while she's giving birth to my child. I know my thoughts are running wild. Been with my style, it's just a trial run. Just heard these kids don't know about Malcolm, and I'm sorta heartbroken, cause the elders lost hoping are you. And here I sit, dead in the middle, not a little boy no more, but not quite.